everyone. My name is Juanita, and I'm a very grateful member of the Al-Anon Fellowship. Boy, you know, this zooming around the world and AWB, Al-Anon Without Borders, definitely brings home that we are an absolutely worldwide fellowship in a way that I don't believe I really grasped before. And it just goes to show exactly what this program continues showing me over and over and over and over again, that out of the absolute worst things that can happen, the most unbelievable blessings can be found. And the fact that we can do this as a result of something that no one ever wanted, nobody ever expected, came out of the blue, what a gift that we have been given. If I am ready to see the gifts and see the blessings, that's what I get. And Rick, what a way to start this, what a way to start today, and Dawn and Brian. You know, what I have watched so far, what I've watched so far is everyone on here being authentic. And I know when Bob comes on, he's gonna do the same thing. And I think that's what these 12 steps, these principles have given us, the opportunity to really find out who we truly are in the service of a power that is greater than ourselves. Who are we? And everyone who's come on here has just been so authentic, so real, so vulnerable. And I'm so grateful to you. Brian, your ability to share really touched me. Some of my greatest teachers, my greatest mentors, have been people who have been to prison. The first one that comes to mind is Don P. out of Colorado. He used to say, "I am not an ex-con. I am a man who's been to prison." The next one that I think of is Tom I. You know, Tom I. Don P's passed on. Tom I is still in this world. He is currently in an assisted living facility. He gave just about every single weekend of his sobriety to the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and to Al-Anon. He said, "I owe it my life." And the sad thing is that he has Alzheimer's. He doesn't know who you are, but he's still the most kindest, gentlest, caring man. He knows that he knows you, you know, so he's kind and he's gentle and he talks, you know, but he gave everything he had. You know, my friend, Brian P, every one of these people got the gift of sobriety because of something horrible that they had to go through, something horrible that they did, something horrible that was so against their values and their morals of who they were, who the person is that God put them on this planet to be. And out of that, what a message these people have carried. So Brian, thank you for your willingness to show up today and to share and be so honest. And same thing with Dawn and Rick. You know, I, for my part, I'll tell you, I'm not here because I did wonderful, great things before coming to you all. I was a mother who was neglectful of her children. I was a daughter who didn't want to have to take the time to spend time with her parents because, oh my God, you know, I felt guilty every time I was in their presence. That's what it amounted to. Guilty that I was not the daughter that I felt I should be. And I wasn't the wife, you know, for either one of my marriages, the past marriage and my current one now. Tom and I now have been married for 41 years. Who in the world would have ever thought that that would be possible? I was not a person who I would say was living according to her values. I didn't know what my values were. I had no idea about anything about me. I couldn't think for myself. I had no idea who I was. I was so busy trying to be who you wanted me to be, out of the fear that if I wasn't, you wouldn't like me. And today, before signing on here, I got on my knees and I said, God, just let me do what everyone before me has done, which is just to be myself. Because really, who we are, who I am, is absolutely perfect and is exactly who God would have me be. It took those 12 steps, that Alcoholics Anonymous, poor Bill Wilson, man, he begged his wife to take those 12 steps and use them and give them to the families. He said, they're dying, Lois. Take them. And I know she didn't want to do it. My God. After all this time, Bill, seriously, now you want me to do this? Come on, live your life. Let's have a life together now that you're sober. I mean, that's what I thought coming in here. It's like I found Al-Anon because my husband went into the treatment center. At the treatment center, they said he cannot go home to an old idea. I didn't know what that meant until many years later, hindsight. I have a friend who says we live life forward. We understand it looking backwards. Hindsight, all hindsight. And I wouldn't even begin to understand it or to find out who I was if it wasn't for those 12 steps that I and every one of us gets blessed with. I went to my first meeting, not because I wanted to come. I went to my first meeting because I wanted to look good. I wanted to look good to the people at the treatment center. I wanted to think my, I wanted my husband to think that I was willing to do something. And I stayed because I was afraid that I'd lose him if he didn't think I was getting this thing, you know? Always for the wrong reasons. And the God of my understanding takes all of this, all my defects of character, all my shortcomings. And he says, honey, that's okay. You just keep doing what you're doing. And I'll be right here when you're ready to give up doing that. I'll be right here when you're ready to be done. It's kind of like watching your kid, you know? It's like you watch your kid throw a fit and you're like, yeah, have at it, man. You know, it's like, no, you're not going to make me change my mind about anything, but you go have a fit. You just go ahead and do it. And I'm here when you're ready to, you know, show up. And that's exactly what God has done with me. And that's exactly what my sponsors have done with me. It's like they've let me be the person that needs to have those experiences that lead me to a place where I'm finally absolutely hopeless and desperate enough to be teachable, to be teachable. I get blessed with the gift of desperation. And in that gift of desperation, I find my absolute salvation, which is, if you take that phrase, gift of desperation, those first letters of that phrase are G-O-D. My salvation is God. And that's all that these 12 steps have to offer. That's it. You know, I've got nothing to add to what everybody said. How do we trudge the road with these trials, with these tribulations, these certain trials and low spots, certain trials and low spots? We will all have them. You know, I thought that I would come into this program and all of a sudden everything would be fine. Everything would be wonderful. I wouldn't have to worry about a thing ever again. It was like I was going to be in a fairy tale and I was going to be able to ride off into the sunset. Boy, that hasn't been the case. I went to meetings throughout the weeks, every week for 2 years before I was teachable enough to get a sponsor. And all that sponsor did was be willing to meet with me, be willing to meet with me and take me through those 12 steps. That's it. My sponsor today, she takes me through those 12 steps. The sponsor I have today, I've had for 30 years. And she shows up and she teaches me how to walk this path with the God of my understanding. That's all we got. If you take a look at those 12 steps, I mean, I wanted something different. I didn't want to have to depend on God when I got here. I wanted to just live my life and not have to be responsible. I didn't want to have to do a thing. My husband, every time we start off on a trip, we sit in quiet in the car before we take off. And we say a prayer. We say a prayer for safety. We say a prayer to be present. We say a prayer to be loving to each other. And my husband always adds this to the prayer. Oh, don't be crazy when he would do this, but he would say this. God, please show us how to be helpful to someone. And I would just cringe. I would just cringe. It's like, oh no, not that. Tom, we're going on vacation. Come on, seriously? You're saying, show us how to be helpful to somebody? I don't want to do that. That's how selfish and self-centered I am. I want my life and I want to just live it according to how I want to live it. But he says that. And do you know, it's taken forever. And finally, I'm in a place where I have been waking up every morning and do my prayer and meditation. And one of my prayers is this. God, show me what I can do to help your children who are still sick and suffering. And I mean it. And I mean it. Who would have thought that that would happen? This program has taught me to care. This program has taught me to open up my heart. And I'll tell you, what I'm telling you now isn't anything that I planned on saying. It was totally different, you know? I'd written a few notes and I thought, oh, you know, talk about struggles and stuff. And, you know, I had all sorts of thoughts come up. But I want to tell you what this program has done for me. Probably about 13, 15 years ago, I'd been asked to speak at a conference, and it was about an hour and a half away from our home. And it was in New Mexico. We were in Santa Fe at the time. We were going to Albuquerque. It was an early Sunday morning meeting, and we had to stop for gas. And we stopped for gas at one of the gas stations that was close to tribal lands. And we stopped for gas, and my husband was talking to somebody, and I'm in the car, he's driving me. And my husband gets back in the car, and he says, oh, he said, I was talking to this guy out here, and I said, yeah, I know. And he said, I told him we'd give him a ride to the meeting. He says, he's kind of in bad shape, and I told him we'd give him a ride to a meeting. And inside my head is going, this is my thought. You what? Really, Tom? Don't you get it? I've got to go speak in like 45 minutes. I'm trying really hard to be spiritual here. I'm trying really hard to be spiritual here. And you're going to bring this guy who's still half drunk? And of course, I didn't say it. I said, okay. Because no sooner had those thoughts crossed my mind, gee, I'm just trying to be spiritual here. But I thought, boy, are you so ever not being spiritual? You know, the idea that you would deny something like this. And that's me. That's me. That's me on a regular basis. You know, I have to pray and ask the God of my understanding for an open heart all the time, because it'll close right up. It'll close right up to protect me. Those 12 steps led me to a person who really isn't that closed up anymore. I'm really not. However, I'll tell you that I still find it much easier to be open with people on this type of platform than it is to show up and be real and be honest with those people closest to me. That to me is the hardest thing. That to me, the daily trials and low spots of having to have a conversation, a real conversation, an honest conversation with people in my daily life that I'd really rather not have, because it tugs on my heartstrings. It means I have to show up. I have to be real. I have to be vulnerable. I can't hide from these people who love me, because that's not a loving thing to do. That's not a loving thing to do. And I used to think that I was most loving with my family. Do you know that that's the hardest place for me to practice this program? The old timers used to say, if you don't have a program at home, you don't have a program. And it took me years to get a program at home. It took me years to get a program here. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. If I am not trusting the God of my understanding in the little things in my life, I'm not going to go to God with the big things. I will struggle more and more. I used to play softball before my knees and my, you know, elbows and everything started to give. Oh my God, I loved it. And in softball, our coach used to say, I want you out here on the field practicing the way you're going to play in the game. Because if you're not out here practicing the way you're going to play in a game, you're not going to play worth a hoot. He said, you need to give everything you've got here in practice, not wait for the game. I have to show up in my daily life and give it everything I've got. Give everything I have, everything I do, all my situations, all my loved ones to God. That's how I get it. That's how I'm able to show up and do this stuff in the rest of my life, in the hard stuff. Because I see God working in these little things that I think I don't need God in. I think I don't need God in this. I think I don't need God in my relationship with my kids. Because my God, especially after all of this time, 34 plus years in the program, surely by now I can say, I got it. I got it. That's my favorite phrase. I got it. I got it. I don't want to have to depend on God. I want to just have it and just do it. I don't got it. I don't got it. I need God in every situation. We had my grandson, Otis, who's 10, stay the night last night. And when he called me yesterday, he said, Grandma, can I come over tonight and spend the night? And my first thought was, oh man, I got to get a good night's sleep. I got to do this. I've got to pray, meditate. I got to do, you know, I've got to go on to this meeting today. And I got to. You know what I got to do? I got to be Grandma. I got to be Grandma. I got to be love. And that's what we've been hearing all morning, love. My word for this year, for the year 2021, is love. Love. What does that mean? It means being present. It means showing up. It means that if fear comes up, I ask God to take it away and turn my attention to what He would have me be. Be means present. What would a loving grandma do? Say, come on over, honey. You know, one of the greatest things I've been able to do is allow people to come into my home with my family and let them see what my family life is like, warts and all, warts and all. I used to think I had to arrange family life so that it would look perfect, so you would all say, isn't she wonderful? Doesn't she have a great program? Day came and I had to give that up. None of it was about that. Life was about showing up and letting you see me. Just me. Just me. And there's days that are tough. There's days that are so hard, I think I can't go on. And you've heard people talk about it. Everyone has talked about those days when clearly we could not do those days without the God of our understanding. At all, at all. And we turned him. And I will guarantee you that I bet every single one on here couldn't do those days because they didn't practice in their daily lives the bringing God into those little things, those little tiny things that I want to say, got it. Don't worry, I got it. And I'll tell you, after all this time, I still don't got it. I still don't have it. I still have to pray on a regular basis to be able to have an open, honest communication. To rather than think of a conversation as conflict, as what's that word that we toss around and use quite often? I can't remember it now, but it's about it's going to be a difficult conversation. What if it's just a conversation where we just talk about how we think, but how we feel? My husband and I had to have a conversation this past week about the virus and our feelings and what we thought was okay and what wasn't. We have to have conversations all the time about different things. And I'll tell you, sometimes those conversations are so much harder than me having to sit and walk my dad through his last year of life, to sit with him and hold his hand, to sit with my mother, to sit with my brother in those last moments of life. And I'm not making light of those, and I'm not saying that those are easy at all. Those are hard times. Those are difficult times. But it's easier for me to turn to God in those times and say, I can't do it. You have got to help me get out of this chair, go to my dad's house with his breakfast, and slay my eyes on him, because it is so painful to see him like this. You've got to do this. I see those times much more clearly than I do the little teeny tiny daily events of my life. I forget about God all the time throughout the day, all the day. I just forget. Then all of a sudden it's like that commercial. Duh, you know, I coulda. How do we get through these? I don't know how many anybody else gets through them, but I'll tell you, I get through them with God. I pray. The other thing that has been given to me as a gift is the ability to truly feel my feelings. And I will tell you that I'm not somebody who likes to feel her feelings. I will run from feeling my feelings, especially when it comes to sadness and it comes to fear. Let me out the back door, honey. Let me go. I don't want it. Please spare me. I'll turn to anger. Anger is my first emotion. And what I've been watching through the last year is having that experience of anger bubble up deep within me. Take a breath and go, it ain't anger, honey. What is it that you're really feeling? Is it fear? Is it sadness? And for me to be able to feel those, put a name to them, not run, not resort to anger, to not feel, I couldn't do that without every morning doing what people have been talking about, sitting in prayer and meditation, and asking God to be in my life. Couldn't do it. What do we have here? What do I have here? I don't know what you have, I don't know what anybody else has, but what I have got is I've got a power greater than myself in, where the second step says that we believe in this power, we believe in the power that can restore us to sanity. I have had to go deeper with this because of repeated use of those 12 steps in every one of these really super hard, difficult situations of my life where I've had to work the steps on it. And because of that, I've had what the 12th step promises, which is a spiritual awakening as a result of working these 12 steps. And all I have is God. But boy, isn't that for me more than enough? For me, that is more than enough. And with all those times in my life that I have seen God's action at work carrying me through, I still forget. I'm just human. I'm human. Very imperfect. Perfectly imperfect. So I got God. When I say I got this today, I'll tell you what I got is I got God. Years ago, I'll finish up with this one little story. Years ago for my 50th birthday, a bunch of my sponsees got together and they said, we really want to throw you a party. It's your 50th birthday. We want to throw you a party. And everything in me was like, I don't want a party. I don't want the attention. I hate that. I just want to like sit in the background. I don't want a party. But they were so excited. They were so excited. And I knew they loved me. And I said, okay, 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 sure, whatever. You don't have to do a thing. We'll clean up the house. We'll bring the food. You don't have to do anything. You just be here. I said, okay. I said, okay. They had the party. And another gal I sponsored was there. And she comes up to me afterwards. And she's in the middle of this whole thing, actually. And she says, how are you doing this? She says, I know you and I know you don't like this. How is it that you're doing this? How can you do this? How can you let them, how could you do this? And I said, they love me. I said, I've had to learn here to let people love me. And isn't that what we're all here doing today? Throwing a little love towards Yvonne, you know? And it's another gift this program has given me, is the ability to receive love. You see, I'm a giver. I will give you love. I have a much harder time receiving. And what a gift when I can let you gift me. Yvonne, thank you for letting us gift you with this little thing. And I can't say that I was lighthearted. I know I wasn't. I rarely am. It's rare for me to be lighthearted and to, you know, throw out a talk where it's like, ha, ha, ha. It happens, but it's not very often. But I'll tell you, Yvonne, I love you with all my heart. And there are people on this that I love with all my heart. And I am truly humbled by the people who are on today, you know, watching and who are sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And what we have heard is people who trust and rely on the power greater than themselves and who have and continue to allow themselves to be seen and to be real and know that who they are is enough, because that's really all we have. Thank you so much, Yvonne. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Juanita. I love you too.